Just to tell you some of the things that are going on at the museum, as you know, that I, on behalf of the trustees, bought the Radar Museum from MOD last year, and that's given us the opportunity to take things forward quite a lot. One of our biggest concerns is the state of the annex, which is, I'm sure you will realise, well past its sell-by date. It's got no insulation at all, it's an energy nightmare, and we decided we wanted to do something with it. And it rather led us into a situation from the wrong direction, as it happens, but we are where we are. We decided we needed something to do something with the annex, and we needed to make this a bit of a high-profile thing, to use Tim's words. And so we wrote to, I knew the PS, third private secretary to the Duke of Edinburgh, quite well from my time in MOD. So I wrote to him saying, do you think sometime you might like to fit another trip to the Radar Museum into the Duke of Edinburgh's diary? And rather surprisingly, he came back and said, yeah, we can do that, and we'll do it in about a month's time, if that's all right by you. Which caused us to have a bit of a problem, because we were then launching something that we hadn't really got our mind around, because we thought that maybe he might come in 6 months and I'd have to prod a bit. So we were really quite surprised. When we started looking at it a bit more carefully, actually we'd come at this from the wrong direction. What we really needed to do was to look at how the museum operated. We have a great museum here, courtesy of Doug Robb by and large, but it is a collection of bits and pieces. It doesn't tell a story. It's not very user-friendly. It's a very specialist museum. People stand up for about an hour and a half on their trip round. And it's very interesting for people that have got a real interest in radar, but it doesn't catch the imagination of people that might be with them. So, you know, I might go, but my daughters would be completely bored if they'd ever come with me. And what we need to do is to try and completely revamp the whole story here. And it does mean that we've got to replace the annex that the captures. When we were looking at this, we also were very aware that we've got some outside exhibits, and we had to make a decision. Either we were going to refurbish them and bring them inside somehow, or we were going to get rid of them, because we were in severe danger of having just a whole stack of rusty metal in the car park, which wouldn't have really been there at all. We have engaged a local architect called Michael Innes. For those of you that know Norwich, he designed Castle Now. And he has come up with a rather spectacular, very right-of-arc proposal, which you will see on the boards up here. If you look at them, let me get the chairs out of the way after the reach, and you can look at them afterwards. That is a very, very expensive option, and we might not get them. We have also done some more work at a much cheaper option, which involves a sort of barn structure. And we now have to do some work to decide which of the two we want. When we had the Duke of Edinburgh and other people here, we went for the expensive option because it looked better on the display more than anything. But we've got to decide what we're going to do. We have engaged with a company called A Different View. They are very experienced of taking people through heritage lottery fund bids. They did the Bletchley Park business case. They are a great team of people. They've been very useful to us here. We've got another meeting on Tuesday of next week with them, where we've got to make some pretty hard decisions about who's going to take this forward, what a committee structure is going to be, and all sorts of things. We are looking at spending in the region of £2.5 million. And we've gone for that figure because we think we could probably raise about £500,000 ourselves. But we want to stay, the way Heritage Lottery Fund bids work is there is a regional pot, which is £2 million or less, and there is a national pot for over that. Now, if we go into the national pot, we're going to be competing with Westminster Abbey, Canterbury Cathedral, and various other bits and pieces, and we don't really think we can fish in that pond. But we can certainly fish in the local pond, because people like Rosalind, the owner of A Different View, is absolutely adamant that we have a national treasure here, and she sees absolutely no problem at all in getting a couple of million quid out of Heritage Lottery to do it. So that's where we are. I don't know what the timescales are going to be. We've certainly got to do something with the annex within about the next sort of 7 years. It will take us a while to get this set up. We do, contrary to any beliefs, we do recognise that we are the holders of a great deal of the fire control branch heritage here. And we want to encourage that relationship, which is why we're briefing you today. And of course, any support you are able to give us, either in terms of ideas or anything else, would be gratefully received. So that's the plan for the museum over the coming few years. We have about 6,000 visitors here a year. We rely on volunteers. We're hoping that if we get a better museum, we will get more people in, we will get more volunteers, and we can open it longer. It's a bit of a circle. Yeah. But it's all now possible because we actually own the place, which we do whatever we want.
Can I just say, Kevin, that I brought one of my schools here earlier this year, yeah, and the kids had a fantastic time. They came because we're studying World War II, which is part of the curriculum, and you know, the teacher was absolutely amazed and passed it around the cluster, you know, and the day wasn't long enough really, but they have a fantastic time. That's all the different aspects of, you know, life in the war, which is shown by some of the presentations as well, and this was the bonus, seeing the fighter controller side of it, and then the grand finale was just sitting in the cockpit up there, so it was great day.
And we too, we invited a lot of business people to the Hugh Glenbury Day, and it was really, put your hands in your pockets, please. And we've already got quite, I guess we picked up about £10,000 on the day, which will help us get to at least the Heritage Lottery Fund Stage 1 bid. And once you get Stage 1, then you're actually funded for things like project managers and all sorts of other things to take you forward from there.
What's the status of the time?
Sorry?
What's the status of the Type 84?
The time? Type 84. The status of it, it's a shape of ancient monument. It belongs to a company called Style Space, who bought the bit of Nita said that we didn't, and the REF didn't hang on to. They've done nothing here, not for want of trying. They've tried very hard, nobody's interested. It costs them, if my memory serves me correctly, about £10,000 a month to keep the life support systems operating in the bunker, and they have to because that's a grade 2 star listed building. But they also have inherited the 84, which is a scheduled ancient monument, and English Heritage are about to be all over them like a rash because the 84 is really going downhill.
Because I was here last year.
We have old hairy RAF engineers here who are in tears when they look at their prize radar over there. So Star Space as entrepreneurs haven't really done terribly well in this particular period. I don't know what will happen. They've looked at holiday cottages, they've looked at solar farms, they've looked at all sorts of things. The district council won't let them go into any sort of light engineering or business parks because the road infrastructure just aren't for them. So they are really very limited as to what they can do. I know our patron, Sir John Allison, wants me to take the Type 84, and I keep saying he must be joking. actually, I don't get me wrong, we'd love to do it, but it's a huge undertaking, and we just don't have the manpower or the money or the capability to look after a structure like that.
Can I say thank you on behalf of the association for letting us use the facilities here? They are splendid as is, but we wish you every success.
When we refurbish, we'll go back up into the briefing room. You just can't go there at the moment because of the fire regulation. But
thank you very much, and I'm sure we are keen to lend whatever support we can. And as I suppose a small token of a heritage, Tim has some bits and pieces that he's acquired from our veterans, which you might find of interest. And Tim, do you just want to talk very briefly about the star piece here?
First of all, let me say I find this very exciting, Kevin, and you've got a really good project on your hands. The work I got involved with Bentley Priory, there are a lot of specialist help out there, and the museum designer himself, who did Cosford, was brilliant, he's done better. The ideas they come up with is great. And the really important message I learned was the one you said, the story's got to flow.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, well, we have got a few items that we were able to gather from our veterans that we donated. They're only small items, but they're quite important. That is a original book of radar notes made by this lady here, who I got a briefing pack from her, who was a staff officer on 75 Wing,
And those are notes, original secret notes, on the radar refresher course you have to do as a supervisor, responsible for the operational efficiency of the whole chain in the north of Scotland. So those,
excellent.
And she, her family donated those books, and we thought it's best for them to do.
And we do have a very comprehensive archive here.
Here are a whole load of recorded histories. They're very varied in their, you know, what's on there, but there are real nuggets in there. Some are better than others. There's, I don't know whether you've got a CD of the filter room itself, which was filmed in 1944 as a secret, and we've used that extensively. But the,
and this is exactly the sort of stuff that, that people like a different view are saying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a whole stack of those.
Thank you very much. That's really great.
Also, you mentioned that you'd like to hear these stories.
Yep.
All the papers we've produced are on some CDs, which
right.
you get as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Including the latest stories.
It's
and
Christmas.
That's another bits and pieces.
Is that one mine as well?
That's one of the that's the recordings.
Right.
Later.
That's cool.
We've also got a few really...
You know, you're going to have to do this again for the manager, don't you?
They're really, you know, they seem like silly bits and pieces, but they are absolutely so important because they are original. And these original filter table counters that were stolen by one of the girls as she left. So they gave, they're called Vera Organ, and her daughter did that, but that backing is there. And fortunately, we also managed to get John Hyde, who was using some that he'd stolen in 1952, as Mahjong counters. So they're in there as well.
Excellent.
There's a few other bits and pieces, including an original bit of window. So those
fabulous. It's like Christmas.
Also, I mentioned the filter paper. It's been a real major, and it's a single source document, I believe, now in the world on filtering.
Right.
There it is.
Excellent.
And there's a CD in there as well with the data on as well. So that's for you from our work. Oh, hang on, there's a couple of those CDs here. That's you probably I don't know if you've seen that one. That's one of Eileen Young Husband.
Yeah.
That's more of the. Bits and pieces. Do you have a copy of that? You missed have,
I'm sure we have got some of them, but whether we've got that
some
out
very, some bits and pieces the girls sent. They'd love to send us these bits. Yeah. They are, you know, in themselves, not. I just find them very special. They're things like, well, you can read it yourself, but that's a Cinderella thing from India, when they from number 5 filter centre in India. So they have those as well. That's it.
Thank you very much indeed. It will, when we start developing this place as an institution and not as a collection of stuff. I'm not drilling down on what's going on here because it's been fabulous. But we now need to make that next step. And we've got museum professionals now involved. Chris, is a museum professional, and so he knows exactly what he's doing. We're going to have some lunch, I think, after we finish. There will be tours if people want them. The volunteers are terrified. We've got a corporate knowledge here that knows far more than volunteers. So they are, if they're a bit shaky, it's because they're a bit concerned about doing this show around. If you've been here before, you will have seen lots of it, but the one thing you probably haven't seen are the culture show rooms. We had some spare rooms, culture show was shutting. There's always been a big tie-up between Leaderset and culture show. And we have things like the Jaguar cockpit here, and they play a video on the screen there, and the kids sit in the Jaguar cockpit, and it actually looks quite in the culture show rooms. There are things like Douglas Varner's bunny rabbit that used to sit on the combing of his MG driving around, and lots of sort of Butler Britain heritage from culture show. So thank you very much. It's been great having you here.
Thank you.